Hello, this is Auroville Radio.
I'm Arya.
And I'm Naomi. Welcome to Deepnam's monthly podcast, Teens Connect, Episode 4. We hope you enjoyed the previous ones. So let's begin. Our guest for today is Auromira. Welcome, Auromira. Please tell us about yourself and what you do in Auroville.
Hi, thank you for having me on your podcast. I'm very happy to be here. So I am part of a project called Chrysalis that I run with my co-founder, Nadia. And it's a project that works in schools to help educate children, teenagers, youth, and even young adults about topics that are not normally talked about. So body topics, such as menstruation, puberty concerns, as you get older, sexual education, consent, boundaries, safety, and these kinds of topics.
So today we are here to talk about consent with Auromira. Me and Naomi, we think that there should be more awareness brought to this topic. So let's start. What is consent and why is it important to know?
So consent basically just means asking for permission. But I think what you're asking about is the topic of consent that's been widely spoken about recently, which is consent in relationships and intimate contact. And so this is a topic that's really important because it allows for safe connection between people. So asking for consent is making sure that two people who are in a relationship or becoming closer together are both very happy to be doing whatever it is that they are doing together.
What are some common misunderstandings about it?
About consent. So one of the things can be, so when we give consent, so we can think of it in a basic term as in even just, can I borrow a pencil? And someone would say yes. So, or you could nod your head or not sort of be so clear about it. If it's just borrowing a pencil, it's not such a big deal. But whenever there's any contact involved, it's really important that the other person gives very clear consent. So a very enthusiastic yes, not a mumbled yes or a head nod or any kind of signal that could be misconstrued. So it has to be very clear. So that's one of the main issues. The other one is that consent can be taken back. So it means that you can give consent, but then you can change your mind, and that's perfectly okay. Consent doesn't mean yes. Sure, go ahead. You know, there's been things that, you know, in life we've decided that perhaps we want to try. And then when we come up to it, we're like, well, maybe not. Like, I don't know, like diving off a diving board. We're like, it sounds great. And then when we get up there, we're like, maybe not. Imagine if someone said, no, sorry, you've climbed up the diving board. You have no way to back out of it. You have to go. It doesn't seem quite fair. So in intimate relationships, the same thing is very important. So an enthusiastic yes, very clear yes. The other thing is that you can back out at any point without any pressure. The persons have to be not inebriated, so not under any influence, have to be very able to say yes, so there should be no ambiguity whatsoever. And then that is a clear consent.
How can someone communicate their boundaries to others?
So the simplest way is through communication. So I always think about consent as being based in respectful communication. So communication starts long before you're in a relationship or before you're intimate with someone. It's, you know, being able to negotiate what do you want to eat? Do you want to go get a pizza or do you want to go get sushi? Like, you know, these kinds of conversations, being able to respect the other person and value differences and what someone is willing to do or not. So communication is key. Being able to stop at any point and clearly say, wait a minute, you know, let's just hang on a minute. Let's discuss this. Let's check in where we're, what we're feeling. What are you thinking? What are you feeling? And being okay with that. So communication is the basis for all.
What does it mean to give and get a consent?
So giving consent is being sure that you are very sure that you want to proceed with whatever is being asked. So you have to check in with yourself also. So if you're the one being asked, how do you feel? Like, do you feel any pressure? If you feel pressured, then maybe say, okay, let me just take a few minutes and see if I really feel like I want to go ahead. So checking in with yourself and making sure that you're sure. And then being very clear with telling your partner, yes, I'm okay to go ahead.
Going back on what you said earlier, good communication. How do you suggest we have good communication?
Well, this is a brilliant question. And I think that we all need to work on this. You know, children, teens, adults, communication is so fundamental in good relationships, not just intimate relationships, but friendships, work relationships. One of the key things for good communication is listening. So being able to really listen to the other person and be really present and hear them. And then, you know, give each other space to really see how the other person is seeing a situation or feeling. This takes practice. So before you're even dealing with something that is more intimate, practice with your friends. Practice really like listening to each other, really communicating your needs. You know, we do a little exercise in Chrysalis sometimes where we try to see what the other person, can we guess what the other person is feeling by some of their body actions? Sometimes we can, and sometimes we can't. So if we're not sure, like, always ask. There's no harm in asking. Think of it yourself, like if someone is guessing, you know, what you'd like to eat, and they say, I'm not sure, do you want this? Like, you'd be like, yeah, I'm glad you asked, you know? Mm. So just practice.
What can someone do if they feel their boundaries have been violated?
So this is a really important question, because often if something like that happens, we get scared, we get frozen, we're not sure what to do, we don't know who to reach out to. And one of the things that we feel strongly about in our program is making sure that everybody that we teach in all of the schools has a person that they can contact in such a situation. So we ask everybody to name somebody. So everyone who's listening now, I would also ask them to think of somebody so that they have it in that moment, because you can go into a situation of panic and then not know what to do. So if you have a person in mind, you know that that person is a safe person that you can talk to. And it can be a parent. Often it's a parent. Sometimes it's the parent of a friend of yours. It can be a teacher you trust. And if someone in our classes doesn't have anyone that comes to mind, we always offer our names, because we can liaise with anybody who may be needed, either parents, or we also work closely with Oroville Child Protection, security, Matram, we liaise with the schools. So we have the connections in order to make sure that something is done and the support is there, whatever is needed.
How do you suggest they go about it? As in, do you think they should just come up to you and tell you what their problem is and expect you to take care of it? Or
it depends on what kind of problem. If it's an immediate emergency situation, then yes, at any point, whoever you need to talk to, I would suggest talking to them immediately and that it's dealt with. If it's an ongoing problem, like maybe with someone at school who's kind of like harassing, or, you know, then it could be something brought up with the teacher. Or it could be one of us also. We could liaise with the teacher, you know, Gopa well, who works in the schools too, so that the situation can be handled. So it does depend on what it involves.
What age do you think consent should be explained to kids?
So my belief is consent should be explained from like day one, basically, because consent isn't something that we suddenly learn as teens. Consent is something that all children should be taught. We learn sometimes when we're very young not to listen to our own needs, because, you know, our elders have told us, go hug so-and-so, for example, and we may not want to hug that person. Doesn't mean there's anything necessarily wrong with that person, but just we don't feel like hugging a person at that moment. If we override that feeling, then over time, we can start to question how we actually feel inside. So parents teaching young children that their body is their body, even amongst loving family members and friends, is really important. That they know how to say, you know what, I don't really feel like, you know, spending time with that person today, or I don't feel like giving you a hug today, and that should be okay. So these things should be taught, I feel, from a very early age. And it makes it easier when you're older in a situation to stand up for what you feel.
What is the age you can give sexual consent?
In India?
Mm-hmm.
In India, it's 18. It varies around the world. Most countries are between 16 and 18.
Yeah. Why is it between 16 and 18?
So different countries have come up with different laws. I'm not exactly sure like why they base it on some things. When I researched before, I think that youngest is 13 and the oldest is 21. So it's,
oh my God.
I didn't prepare the actual data on it, so I can't tell you which countries. But I think mostly it's 16 to 18, and in most countries it's 18, because in most countries 18 is considered an adult. It's when you can vote. In many countries, it's when you can drink. So, yeah, when you can get married.
What do you think, like, you can give sexual consent and stuff?
Sorry?
What do you think about it? Like, is it fine, 16 to 18, or like?
You know, this very much depends. When we say sexual consent can be given at a certain age, we don't take into account the maturity or the development of the person. So everyone does develop it at different times, and also doesn't mean that it doesn't happen earlier, because very clearly sexual activity happens in younger than 18, and some people are fine with it and some people are not. So it really is very individual, and this is one of the things that we make sure everyone knows, that what is legal. So you have to know what is legal, what is safe, and very clearly know what is okay for each individual, and to be able to stand by that and not to feel pressured in any way. So it really depends. And I know many adults who did not begin sexual intimacy until they were in their 20s, some even 30s. So it doesn't at all mean, you know, that by a certain age someone is ready.
Hmm. What are some common misunderstandings about it?
About consent?
Hmm.
It's not something that's spoken enough about. I'll say when we do our courses, many people know the basics that you should ask, but they don't understand the nuances, that something like someone replying, is not a yes, or, maybe, okay, like is also not considered a yes. So some of the sort of yeses that people think are yeses are not actually yeses. So the enthusiastic component is really important, that it's very clear. The other thing we noticed in our teen classes, older teens, is a confusion around if someone has had alcohol or drugs. You cannot give consent if you're under the influence, technically. Whereas they say, well, but you know, it happens, and sometimes it's not clear, but actually you cannot. So legally you cannot. Of course it varies. Someone could have, like, you know, a small drink and you know, be aware and be able to make eye contact and walk in a straight line and think logically. They're not so much under the influence as someone who's fully drunk, but technically anyone under the influence cannot give consent.
What about if both people are under the influence and they do give consent? Like, is that all right?
Well, there it's very sort of vague areas. What I know is that the person who initiated is the one who has the responsibility. So whether the other person decides afterwards, actually, no, I didn't give consent, the person who initiated is the one at fault. So it's a very murky area, risky area in a way. You know, you don't know clearly, like, what the other person is thinking. If you're inebriated yourself, you're also not in the best position to judge whether someone is giving enthusiastic consent. So it happens. I'm not going to say it doesn't happen. It happens a lot. But it's technically not legal.
Interesting. What should be the role of the community in promoting the education of consent in the schools?
So our program is fundamental to this kind of answer, we hope anyway. It's one of the main things that we are very keen to promote, and we hope it's going to grow. And so teaching kids from an earlier age about consent, giving scenarios, practicing various ways to give consent and to ask for consent, because in the moment sometimes it can be difficult to remember, like, how do we ask or what do we do. So practicing beforehand is helpful. There's also other programs that are happening within the community around harassment and awareness in general. So there is I'll do a little promotion for this, but in April, there is a sexual harassment awareness program put on by YouthLink. And this will be with Chrysalis, YouthLink, I think Child Protection, Security Services, other people who are involved in this field, like Fakira and Matram, to bring an awareness not just to the schools, but to the wider community. So things like this, I feel, should happen more often. It should be a conversation that is ongoing. It's not something that you teach once and that you leave. It's something that is, we need to change our mindset around it. We need to be very clear around it and to learn how to look after ourselves and be safe.
How long has Chrysalis been around?
So Chrysalis has been around 3 years now, I think, yes. Yes, we started in Deepanam.
Really?
Well, I started, it wasn't Chrysalis at that point, but it was born out of when I was teaching Grace.
All right.
Yes, and we had a girls' class, and that was the first,
I was a part of it.
You were part of the birth of Chrysalis. It was when I realized that there isn't anything providing this basic information. So we started, for those who are listening and are not aware of what Ari and I are talking about. We started with a girls' class around periods and starting our first periods in Grace class, which is 10 to 12-year-olds, I think.
I think so, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, I realized there wasn't anything providing this kind of information, so we started and then realized that actually there were a lot of other topics that came up from periods. Mm-hmm. And then the boys were like, well, why don't we have a class? And so it kind of grew from there. Then we took our classes out of school to incorporate more schools. So they were in the Tibetan Pavilion for a little while. And then we realized we're missing out some kids who can't come. They live too far. They have other activities after school. So we brought it back into the schools. So,
do you think there should be a subject about this, like, necessarily? Like science, maths, and stuff?
Yes, I do. I feel like it should be a topic that is ongoing, something that explores about how we relate to other people in a respectful way, about our bodies, to reduce any kind of shame and taboo about our bodies. We started about periods, but, you know, there's a lot of shame and taboo around that area. Even though 50% of the population goes through having our periods every month. So it's something that, this whole topic, I feel, needs to be explored a lot more.
I'm not too sure about what's going on in Oroville with this topic, but is there anything else going on besides the sexual assault and Chrysalis?
In Oroville, meaning around these topics? That's what's coming up at the moment. We have got plans for doing more things, so we were thinking to have movie night. So there will be a movie night for teens, yes, with a discussion group and a great movie. So as soon as we have the program, we'll share it with you all.
When?
Very soon. So the movie night will be in the first couple of weeks of April. When would it be? It's in 2 weeks in April. I'm not sure exactly when. I don't have the program yet, but it'll be soon. And yes, so we have definitely got a plan to do more of this kind of work.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I can't wait to hear about it.
But what do you think? Like, imagine if you tell about a kid, like 3-year-old, about consent, won't they feel like, I don't know, like a bit more, like, you know, if someone is doing handshake with them, they will be like, oh my God, like stuff like that.
You mean they might feel...
Yeah, like they feel like they're going to do something else other than handshake.
Oh, I see what you mean.
Yeah, because they know, because I think they're quite young, they might think that way.
Like, I see what you
mean.
Not
only handshake, they will be like, they will grab me, put
they'll
in the
get
car.
Scared.
And,
yeah. I see what you mean. Yes, it's a balance, of course. You don't want to frighten children. When I'm thinking to teach about consent, it's not sexual consent. It's just consent in relating to others. So can I borrow a pencil? Or, you know, can I look at your toy? Those kinds of consent are very important. They set the foundation to other kinds of consent later on. So it's not about sexual consent for younger children, of course, at all. Now, there is a situation about safety. So there is a way to teach younger children about safety without scaring them. So there is that topic that child protection is working on how to teach that.
But like, do you want to teach that in schools also now, like light group and like in our school, group and peace groups, because they don't get...
They don't, no. I mean, at the moment, our focus is from age 10 up, so it's not something that we're covering at the moment, but I do feel like it's an important topic. I know that there are programs for schools, and it's something that is often covered, something like called good touch, bad touch, so that people know, you know, when... you know, what to look out for, what is okay and what isn't okay. Because some abuse can happen and they're not aware that it's something that's not okay unless it's been explained to them.
In my previous school, they did like this, good touch, not good. But like, the teachers, they get so awkward that we are not comfortable asking questions to them. But like, when I came to Oroville and you guys were there, then I was like, oh, it's so, like, you know, common.
It's more comfortable.
Yeah.
So one of the reasons why we wanted to set up Chrysalis is because when we have this kind of education in other schools and in other parts in the world, and most adults that I speak to who've been through schooling and have had these classes, it's taught by a teacher who normally teaches another class, usually sports or biology. It's not their area of comfort.
Yeah.
And so it does... it does feel very uncomfortable to hear it from someone who's uncomfortable themselves. So in Chrysalis, we train people very thoroughly to work with us who are very comfortable with the topic and non-judgmental and open, so that we can have these kind of safe conversations without any judgment. That's kind of our foundation. So I'm glad you felt that.
And like, how to ask someone like about their consent, but like in a comfortable way, like not making them awkward and stuff.
Yes, not to be like, do you give consent, like, you know, in a very formal way. Yeah. So yeah, you can just say, is that okay? Is it okay if I, you know, borrow that? Or like, if you get old, is it okay if I hold your hand? Or, you know, simple things like that. And it might feel a little awkward at the beginning, but, you know, dating can be awkward at the beginning. It's okay. Everyone goes through that.
What age do you think, like, kids should learn about sexual consent?
Okay, so this is another, not so easy question to answer. And it varies around the world. In some countries, it's very young, 5-6-year-old. In other countries, it's much older, so 14, 15. Here, we teach more on the conservative side, so because we're aware of the multicultural nature of Oroville, so we have people from all backgrounds who have different sensitivities around it. So we teach a little bit more on the conservative side. We start with the sexual education at age, it's a faith group, which is 13, 14. At the point where we are at Oroville, it feels appropriate. However, we always open it up to the younger classes if they have any questions, anonymous questions. We have these question slips, if you remember.
Yeah.
And if anything like that comes up, then we talk about it. And it does occasionally come up, and then we do talk about it. So we address the needs of the class, depending on the group of children, so that we don't overwhelm them with information that's not relevant. But if there is a need, we talk about it.
Would you want to run through what we do in Chrysalis in your classes?
Sure, which class? Because it varies very much depending on the age. It's all by...
Let's do Grace, maybe.
Grace, yeah.
Grace, okay. So, because you're in Hope and you're in Faith, right? So, Faith, I'll hopefully be coming to see you guys soon. So, in Grace. So, we taught our last class in Grace group in October, November, I think. You were... No, you're in Faith this year. Last year we were in our class. So this year Grace group was in October, November of last year. We was a big class, so that was a little bit of a challenge. I think we had like 21 or 22 kids. We did a 5 or 6 week program, and the first 3 weeks boys and girls were separate. So we always have 2 facilitators per class, and there's a male facilitator for the boys' class and women for the girls' class. So we cover a lot of the same topics, but we found that usually because it's the first time encountering these topics, that there's a lot of nervousness if they're mixed together from the beginning. So we cover anatomy and physiology, what are periods, you know, for the girls we go a little bit more in detail with that. We cover body changes for puberty, because that's the age when everything starts to change. And we intersperse the classes with exercises, so to sort of release some tension if it's embarrassing. Mm. We play games, we bring tea and snacks and try to make it like a cozy place. The focus is a lot on prevention. So preventing any kind of like complaints. So good nutrition, we teach about nutrition and herbal teas for stress or period pain or, you know, these kind of things. And tips and tricks and, you know, practical tools to how to deal with certain things that will come with changes, you know, as they grow. Because Grace group is 10 to 12, that's right when they're just about to go through puberty or are in puberty. So a lot of changes are taking place, like emotionally, as mentally, as well as physically.
So when we were in your class, me personally, I was quite comfortable, but what do you usually do when someone's not so comfortable opening up to this topic?
So there's no pressure. No one is at any point has to say anything whatsoever at all. So there's no pressure to participate. But usually everybody participates. I think it's very, very rare that we've had anyone who doesn't. I know that the first time, especially if they don't know us, because I was your right, past teacher, yes. So you knew me. But and now most kids, at least in Deepanam, they know who I am and they know my colleagues as well. At first, they don't know what to expect, and so I can see a little nervousness when they come into the classroom at first. But after the first class, there's a huge change in relaxation, and so I know that the first class we have to call people to come and by the second class they usually come on their own. so
Do you like doing the classes? Like, do you enjoy them?
I enjoy them very much. Yeah, I really do. They can be a little bit tiring sometimes, especially if you have a large class of like younger kids who have a lot of energy, and we hold the focus. Our classes are 2 hours at a time. We have a break in the middle, but it's a lot to take in, so it can be intense. But I've never yet finished a course where I don't feel great. Like, I feel so happy. Yeah.
Those 2 hours do not feel like 2 hours.
They go fast?
They go really fast, though.
They go fast, yeah.
But, like, first class, it's, like, a bit, you know, it's, like, 2 hours. And then the second class, it's, like, half an hour there.
Yes, it goes faster, huh? Yeah. No, especially to see the change, to see, when you were just saying that some people are uncomfortable, to see that change from discomfort to comfortable is very rewarding.
How big is the team?
So at the moment, Nadia and I are the co-founders, and so we do most of the teaching. We have 4 others who are sort of training to be facilitators with us. So 2 men and 2 women.
Okay, I think we covered almost everything. So this was a fun experience. It was nice to have you here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. You had such great questions. I'm really glad you asked them. It was fun for me too.
It was a pleasure having you here.
Thank you.